Hello there, good day everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio and the program The Teacher. I'm your host, Mas'ud.
Allah ma'ana, tasma'una wa tarana. Allah, Allah, inna, narujuka al-wufrana. Aslihna wa yana. واغفر خطايانا الله الله واجعل في الجنة مثوانا الله.
There are various well-known figures in history of science in Islam, of course. These Muslim great scholars and scientists are mentioned in history frequently and later on by Western scholars, of course, in their findings and books. However, the areas of achievements of Muslim scholars and scientists are not only limited to some technical fields or scientific issues. Today, we're going to talk about one different and distinguished figure in history of Islamic science and achievements, of course. Muhammad ibn Battuta, or simply known as Ibn Battuta, born on February 25th, 1304, and died in 1368 or 69, which is not very clear, was a medieval Moroccan Muslim traveler and scholar, of course, who is widely recognized as one of the greatest travelers of all time. Ibn Battuta is known for his extensive travels, accounts of which were later on published in his book named The Rihla, or literally translated as The Journey. Over a period of 30 years, Ibn Battuta visited most of the known Islamic world as well as many non-Muslim lands. His journeys included trips to North Africa, the Horn of Africa, West Africa, Middle East, South Asia, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, and China.
Chosen to teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad. You are the light.
If we take a look at the life and times of Ibn Battuta and his travels, of course, we simply find out that, first of all, and before everything, he didn't intend to be a traveler. He didn't want maybe to just take a trip to all these countries and lands at that time and become a traveler. But everything started from his motivation for the pilgrimage of Hajj, when he intended to visit Mecca as a Muslim, of course. He knew that there is going to be a 15-month trip. So he left Morocco for a 15-month trip to Mecca, but this 15-month trip led to a 24-year trip, and it took him 24 years to return to Morocco again. So this was just the beginning of his trips from Mecca, then to many other places and countries in the world. So in the case of Ibn Battuta's travels, we should think of his motivation. There could be different reasons for his intention and, this decision to become a traveler. Among his reasons and motivations, definitely we can just point out to the fact that traveling is highly recommended in Islam, both in the Holy Quran and in the, let's say, traditions and quotes from the Holy Prophet of Islam, and even other figures that we have in history of Islam. It is very recommended to travel all around the world to see the signs of God and to see the, things that happen to different cultures and different people. So Ibn Battuta definitely wanted to become a traveler, mainly because to experience different cultures and different interactions with different people.
Thank you. travel abroad and search for Allah's bounty. Seek knowledge, though the journey take you to China.
This is the story of one of the greatest journeys of all time. In 1325, shortly after the end of the Crusades, a young Moroccan Muslim called Ibn Battuta set out on a pilgrimage to Mecca. It was to become an odyssey from one end of the known world to the other. In all, he travelled 75,000 miles, more than three times the distance Marco Polo covered. Along the way, he was to meet magicians, dervishes, holy men, fire eaters, and other travellers from across three continents. He was by turns scholar, businessman, mystic, warrior. And when he got home, after 29 years on the road, he wrote it all down.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and the program The Teacher, talking about Ibn Battuta and his travels to different countries in the world, which took him almost about 30 years and became as one of the most well-known travelers in history, of course. We came to the part which was about his motivation of traveling to all these countries. Experiencing different cultures and interacting with different people definitely is one of the reasons. But besides the fact that traveling is highly recommended in the Quran and by the Holy Prophet of Islam, importance of traveling in Islam is a very important fact, as we have in some verses of the Quran, specifically in one of the verses which it directly recommends people to do traveling on different lands on earth to see the signs of God and to see, of course, the consequences of different things that happened on earth and different nations on earth, of course. These are some of the parts in the Quran which explicitly recommend the traveling. So this is definitely one of the greatest motivations of Ibn Battuta for traveling. Sayyid Ali Khalkhali also talks about the importance of traveling in Islam.
Since the beginning of the 20th century, and especially now in the 21st century, one of the common themes that we find between families, especially in the West, that occurs regularly now more than before, is the fact that a lot of us are now traveling. In the Arabic language, the word travel is safar. Safar. And it actually means, linguistically, it means to show apparent, something which was hidden, something which was hidden, to now show it. So for example, someone who does not wear hijab, they call her the safira. The one who, the hidden place is now being seen. Or the one who, for example, he's now got front male bald baldness. They say, فَأَسْفَرَ مَقَدَّمِ رَأْسِهِ. The beginning of his head, the top part of his head, is now shown. Before it wasn't shown because he had hair on top. So the word safar comes to show apparent, what was hidden. And when we travel, that which was hidden from us, that which we never used to see before, has now become something that we see, experience. And hence, we notice not only we are traveling more than before today, but we are recommended to travel. And ever since the beginning of creation, people used to travel. Prophet Adam alayhi salam used to travel from one earth, from one part of the earth to another. And we as Muslims should travel and are recommended to travel. For example, the hadith say, As-safar mizanul bawl. Traveling is the scale of a nation. You see, those nations that have traveled mostly have gained experiences from other countries, from other cultures, from other religions. They usually are more advanced because they have more experiences, they have more ideas, they have more books, they have more understandings of how to live a better life. We see another hadith which says, Safiru tasihhu. Travel, and by traveling you improve your own health.
Really glad to have you again in another episode of the program The Teacher. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Till next time, God bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. شفعة أنا لها.